Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning, and if you look around, there may be a few missing. I know the children's home, they're out and about today, and also many of our youth are at some of the entry and exit ways and things like that rather than in here, but it's good to have those of you that are here, those that are not. We pray can be back here with us as soon and as quickly as possible. We're beginning a series for the month of December here entitled Gifts from God. And we're going to be looking at gifts in Scripture and how they come to mean so much to us. And as we all have those gifts that we've been given throughout our life, some we cherish greatly, and others, you know, you're just like, okay, thanks, you know, because it is that time of the year that you'll probably get a fruitcake. And I'm not sure where that ranks on your list, you know. Some people might like it, others may not. And so, but anyway, I always remember different times growing up, Dad would bring home different things for me. It was always exciting when he'd bring home a box of baseball cards or something for me. It was not so exciting when he'd bring home a pair of gloves, because I knew that that meant there was wood that was going to be needed to be cut and things of that nature. And so as you look at that, there's gifts that we receive that sometimes are for our benefit, and we may not realize it at that time. Others... As we're going to look here today, that idea of good gifts is what we're looking at this morning. Matthew chapter 7, if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 12 says this: "For what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." I will say, you know, many times in scriptures, in the gospel accounts, they'll be reiterated. Luke, I think it's about chapter 11, talks about this same thing, but it adds two words to this that kind of changes the meaning of the whole thing, really, at least in my mind, and we'll look at that later on this month. But it says, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good," in referencing the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. And so it's a little bit a different take. And so that's why we're looking with the Matthew one here this morning. And a fish, as they're in the water at times, may share a resemblance to a snake or to a serpent. I will say this, I've been swimming many times up at the Wijididja camp, and I've never jumped out of the creek for a fish being in the water. I have, however, made it high and dry off the side of the bank of the creek for a snake crossing in those waters. Now, if you're someone like Cade Miller, or he just likes to jump right in there and grab a hold of them, but I don't do that. But there is that difference that we would see between a fish and a serpent, or maybe even some similarities. But yet there's no parent that would attempt to deceive his child by giving him a snake instead of a fish. And so God will not give to us which might appear to be of use, something that will actually be injurious to us. He wants what's good for us, and we've entitled this message for today that of good gifts. There's Cade. I knew I see you there somewhere. Anyway. All right. But so we're going to look at three things here this morning that we want to share about and we want to talk about and just be reminded of. Number one, into the message, which Josh had mentioned, the choir concert on Thursday. Make sure you can come out. So we were able this past week to go take the choir up to Golden Years, which we had not been able to do, I think, since before COVID, correct? So we were able to do that, and so we were able to see Nell there, Nell Haney and Raleigh Johnson and many others that we know from there. But they did a really good job singing is what I'm getting at here. I want to point that out. And I had shared on Thursday that was the beginning of our world tour for 2023. Unfortunately, it'll be coming to an end on Thursday, but if you want to come out and share in that, you have a good time listening to the kids and as Mrs. Wellman has bring them all together for those singing times, December 7th, this Thursday, 7 o'clock, right here. So I'm planning on being there. Anyway, so as we get going this morning, as we look at this idea of good gifts, and Jesus shares this statement, this little passage out of right towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he is speaking to us here. And so there's some things I want for us to take from this passage of Scripture that hopefully, you know, as we had said, hopefully during the end of November, that's not the only time that we share in the idea and the thought of Thanksgiving and giving thanks for and showing gratitude for what we have. So I pray that hopefully not only during the month of December is the only time that we think of gifts, good gifts, giving gifts, and things of that nature, because every day that the Lord has allowed us to get out of bed, and even though some days it may be slower than others, as we still thank the Lord that we're able to do so, that He is the giver of good gifts. And that is the first thing that we want to look at, that God is the giver of good. God is the giver of good. Don't ever think that anything that you have ever received that is bad is from God. Because it's not. It's against His nature to do something that would harm you. And so, and we live in that world where we become very cynical. I know I do. I'm sure some of you as well. And as we look at this and we say, well, you know, God's just really giving it to me right now. If that's the way you think, I would hope we'd go in and readjust our thinking. But God is the giver of good. The passage in Psalms that we lead off with here, Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." And so this is a reminder to us here that there's no good thing that He holds to those who walk uprightly. And we have to look at that. And so it's one of those things that we're best not to do ourselves, but to judge ourselves. And because if we all look at it and we're like, oh yeah, I'm pretty good. I could do better. But for the most part, I'm pretty good. Be careful when we start to judge ourselves by ourselves. Because there's only one that is good, and that is the one in heaven, as Jesus Himself references to the Father. But He talks about those who walk uprightly. Because other passages of Scripture remind us that when it rains on the just and the unjust. So just because you think, oh, well, God's always going to give me every good gift that I need, just remember the unjust also get blessings from heaven. So you might be careful on how you categorize where you think you should be. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing. We have those today that believe in a religion that there's a little bit of good and every wrong and a little bit of right and every wrong, or a little bit of wrong and every right. But Scripture tells us that's not the case. That there is no darkness in our Lord at all. And so that He is just shining the bright and actually dispels and abhors the darkness. So every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He will be constant. What was wrong 10 years ago is wrong today. What was wrong 1,000 years ago is wrong today. What was wrong 2,000 years ago is wrong today. And so as we look at that in his scripture and his reminder of that, God is the giver of good. And so many times we may overlook some of the good things that the Lord has given us. Traffic laws. The Lord's given us those through man. And they've given us those for that reason. Even with traffic laws in effect, we still have multiple accidents throughout the year down here at Cuba, Thimler, and 37. Even with laws put into effect to protect us, because not everybody always pays attention or not everybody obeys those laws. But God is the giver of those things because ultimately He wants for us what is good. And He knows how to give us those good gifts. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Have you ever, and Derek kind of touched on this in his Sunday school class, but and we've prayed for something that means a whole lot to us, and we'd really like for the Lord to answer the prayer in the way that we just know that obviously if that would be good for me, then God's going to answer it that way. So if we all had prayers that we sure wanted answered one direction and the Lord answered another way, I think we all have. Does that mean that God is not good? No, it just means that our mind and our thoughts are not as His thoughts, and that His ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes we may not see the whole picture. And in what Derek was sharing with that is, and as was shared in that class, that faith doesn't have a timeline. In other words, you can't pray for that tonight and then expect. Now, it could happen. The Lord could decide to take care of that. But just because you've prayed for something very seriously doesn't mean that that's exactly the way the Lord desires for it to work out. Now, does that mean that God is not the giver of good? No. Because God actually might know something that's better for you than what you asked for. I try many times when people ask how's it going, I try to respond, things are better than I deserve. Because the fact of the matter is, as good as we have it in this life, even with its struggles and its trials, things could still be far worse. Not only is God the giver of good, But he gives good gifts to all. And we kind of touched on that as well, that it does rain on the just and the unjust. Passage in Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 33:14 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah." And Jeremiah does this, and we use one of those passages of scripture as well, Jeremiah 29:11, and where it says, "And the Lord says, I have plans for you," and things of that nature. And how I want for you to prosper. But one thing we do need to make sure that when we do read in Scripture, and there's a passage in Romans that's the same way, and the Jeremiah passage, and we were discussing this in Bible class the other day, is that, you know, we like to use some of these verses as our life verse, but the unfortunate thing is, in Jeremiah 29:11, God wasn't talking to you. Oh my goodness. You know, God didn't say everything was going to work out. And so the kid raised their hands and said, "Well, does that mean God doesn't know our plans?" I said, "I didn't say that. I just said that that wasn't for you." I said, "We also have a passage in there that says go build an ark. I haven't seen one of those in your front yard either." You know, and so we've got to be careful, and we've got to make sure that these things that we look to. But when God says he's going to give good gifts to all, this Jeremiah passage here, he makes reference to, "I'm going to fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel." The house of Israel was given many blessings throughout the Old Testament scripture. And even if we want to say throughout today, the Messiah has come through that house of Israel. We'll also say that God has chosen Israel of the Old Testament covenant. And as we all know, when does the covenant change over from one covenant to another covenant, or a testament or a will? When the testator dies, when Jesus died on the cross, then it was a reminder to us that it was no longer to the Israel people. However, it is those that are born of the spiritual seed of Israel, of Isaac, the only begotten son. Notice I said only begotten, not the only son. The only begotten son of Abraham, that the Messiah comes through. And not through the Levitical priesthood as one would think, but through the tribe of Judah. Again, not as man would think, but as God does. And he gives us an opportunity for salvation, which you might be surprised is one of those good gifts that we're going to be looking at later on this month. But he is gives good gifts to all. And yes, at one time it started and it was to the nation of Israel. But today, as of Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and then it was opened up to us, the Gentiles, in Acts chapter 10, the Jews and the Gentiles now all come to Christ in the same manner. Or I should say, they all come to God in the same manner, and that's through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 44:3-4, "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, and I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants, and they shall spring up among the grass like poplars by the streams of water." And what the Lord is telling us there through the prophet Isaiah is that, you know what? There are going to be blessings that come in your life whether you are good or whether you are wicked. This goes back to that raining on the just and the unjust type of a thing. That just because you look at somebody's life, and this is the problem, this is what we put into our mind. You're driving down the road, you know, and you may think, It usually goes two ways of our thought. You see somebody who's got a nice house, a couple nice vehicles out in the front yard, nice mower that's taking care. Matter of fact, they've got a mowing company that comes in and mows their yard. They don't even have to mow their own yard. They've got a mowing company that comes in, does it. They've got some nice outbuildings. They've got campers and boats and everything else that you can imagine. And we look at this and we're just like, we think one of two things. Boy, either the Lord's really blessing them or they're doing something shady. Right? We take the two extremes, right? And the fact of the matter is, it's just life. And so whether someone is blessed and lives in a beautiful home doesn't make them a more or less of a Christian than anyone else, than someone who lives in a shack. But the reminder is that we all have a place to lay our head, that the Lord will take care of us, and he gives good gifts to all. Which then leads us to the last thing we want to look at here this morning, and that is the good gift of God. John chapter 4 and verse 10. This is the whole conversation of the woman at the well. And Jesus then answered her and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And so as we have been blessed, and hopefully we've taken some time in the past week or two is to look at those blessings and those things to give thanks for and the gratitude in our life, hopefully one of those things that comes up in that our idea and our understanding of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And there's so much information there in this John chapter 4 with the woman at the well that you can preach sermon after sermon after sermon on from different points of view and different topics. But just from this verse, do you ever get the thought and maybe the possibility here that Jesus is saying, you know, sometimes you people ask for things that you just don't get. You don't understand it. Because we'll ask for something on a very physical form. Maybe something we desire to have. Maybe a physical ailment we desire not to have. Whatever it may be, but the Lord says, and here you've got this opportunity to talk to me, and you're worried about something pretty superficial. When the woman at the well thinks that they're just talking about a pitcher of water, in the case of Jesus, he's not talking about a pitcher of water. He's talking about something much greater than that. Said, if you knew who I was, then you'd be asking me for water, and I would give you water. It would make it so you'd thirst no more. That's not meaning she would never, you know, get hot and sweaty and need a drink again. What it's saying is he's got the answer to satisfy the needs that she has. And he does for you as well. I would give you living water. And this is that good gift of God. Because he knows what we need before we need it. He knows what we need before we ask of it. He knows what we need even if it never crosses our mind. That's why as Paul is writing to Titus, an evangelist in his own right, Titus 3 verses 4 through 7 says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared," this is that gift of God, "he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing and by renewing, excuse me, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's a lot of things we can ask God for. There's a lot of things that we can beg him or beseech him for. And some of them we consider desires and wants. Others we maybe consider more of needs. But we have no greater need as mankind today than that of a Savior. That of one that can wash our sins away. The one that can regenerate our lives. The washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Again, just as we see in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says that you will by no means get to heaven without the water and the word. Is it a coincidence then that on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches a gospel sermon and mentions that you must be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to enter into the kingdom or the church or to heaven, which are all three synonyms for each other? And so as we look at this and we're reminded of these good gifts from God, he could give us a lot of things. He does give us a lot of things. As we've made mention before from up here, just being in a citizen in this country, we are in the 3% richest population in the world. I mean, we did the school and the church. We shared in that great mission work for the Hippo Valley Christian mission, getting collecting. And think about this, kids. Think about this, okay? First of all, the only gift and the main gift that they'll get is a total of about $35. And they get a meal with chicken and rice. And right away, some of them be like, I don't like rice. Right? Then you get a new uniform to wear to school. Right? And don't forget, a soda pop to drink, right? They'll get a soda pop to drink. And so just be honest, even us as adults, that's all that would wind up for you to open on Christmas Day. Wouldn't you be a little disappointed? Some may give it more thought than others. But the whole idea is God gives us things and we take those things for granted. They get to have this meal once a year. Right? Now, in that video, the thing that I tried to point out that I think was overlooked, and kids, bear with me, and I think you'll agree with me on this. It wasn't the important fact that they were getting a new uniform to go to school, which having uniforms for school would solve a lot of problems at times. Okay? However, I think the thing that we were overlooking was that they only went to school one or two days a week. Now that's my type of school. Amen? All kids said? All right, there you go. Blake's back there. Right, amen. Right? But as we look at that, but it is just be reminded of the good things that we've been given. As we begin this month, a time of receiving gifts, a time of giving gifts, a time as Jesus even reminds us that it's more blessed to give than receive. Take these things to heart. the good gifts that even our parents and those around us share with us. But yet our Father, which art in heaven, knows everything that we really, truly need. And it starts with the gift of His Son. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, it begins with a belief in Jesus Christ and who He is, with the ability we have to then repent of our sin, the sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross, to have that forgiven, confess Christ as Lord, to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins, and live a faithful life for Jesus, to do our best to take the gift or the gifts that we've been given, no matter how great or inconsequential we think they are, and allow them to bring honor to our Father in heaven. Will you stand as they lead us in our song?